As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read a scripture and to hear a word from God. And before we do so, let us have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We give you thanks for the opportunity to join in this place or wherever we might find ourselves during this summer weekend, Lord, that we might hear a word from you, that we might be part of something bigger than ourselves and the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for your abundant love that you have for each one of us this day. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Scripture for this morning comes from Matthew 13. It's maybe a familiar scripture. Maybe you've heard it before. The parable of the sower goes like this. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then it jumps to verse 18. "Hear, then, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, the person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, that is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. When I was 16, a mere 25 years ago, when I still had hair and lived in Beeville, and I worked with Riggle Huey Farms, my boss, Matt, had more than 5,000 acres at the time that he would harvest each season. He probably has more than that now. Over three summers of working there, I learned from Matt. It was my duty to wake up early in the morning before anyone else got out there on the farm, and it was my job to, like, pump oil into all these little spigots on the combine, and so I'd jump around the combine and find each one of those spigots and give them three pumps of grease. It was my job to drive the grain buggy, the tractor with the grain buggy, so that the combine wouldn't have to stop while harvesting the maize and the corn, and so I would have to, you know, wait for the call and then go speed over there in my little tractor with my buggy and ride beside the combine as he would unload whatever he was doing, and then I would go unload it into the trailer that would take it to the mill. And finally, it was my job at the end of the season to clean and hand wash the combine so that it was ready for the next year's harvest. And I worked with Matt for three summers, and we would work, I don't know, 12 to 15 hours a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, is how I would know the day. It was a lot of fun working with Matt, and it was a learning experience and a ton of work for those 3 months out of the year. But what I learned was that harvesting and farming was a 12-month job. It wasn't a three-month job. Harvesting was only one of the seasons of the job. There was something to do every day of the year. to make sure that the crops grew correctly. There was plowing and preparing and planting. All the seasons were so important, but one of the most important seasons was that time of preparation. During the season in which they go out and test the soil and make sure that the soil had exactly the right pH in order for the crops to grow correctly. And if the soil wasn't right, they would not plant in that particular area for the season. The farmer tests the soil to make sure that the seeds would be able to grow and get the nutrients that the crops need to grow best. And then they would make sure the soil is ready for the seeds to be planted in those perfectly straight rows in order to maximize space. They used every little bit of the soil of the area. Overall, I learned just the drop in the bucket about farming under the leadership of Matt, but he taught me a lot. He taught me how much time it takes, the energy it takes, the perseverance it takes in order to bear the most crops during a season. This morning, Jesus is speaking to the large crowd that had gathered around him, and in this case, Jesus used what's called a parable, this rhetorical story, and he talked about this familiar topic to the people. He spoke about planting seeds for the harvest, and he spoke in a way that people would understand. Believe it or not, unlike this farmer who learned how to farm from Texas A&M with a degree in agriculture, farmers in Jesus' time cast seed with more of a scattershot approach. They weren't as careful in their planting and making sure that the rows were perfectly straight, that the soil was perfect. When planting in this way, some seed fell on hard soil, other seed fell on rocky ground, and some fell among the thorns and the weeds, and some fell in good soil. It's the way they planted seeds in Jesus' day. And so Jesus uses this example as a way to speak to the people about growth and about receiving the word and about transformation of heart. He knew it would get their attention. So what can we learn about the parable this morning? One way to look at it is that this parable is to think of Jesus as the farmer. We learn about how generous and how inclusive Jesus is with his seeds. He throws it out. He flings the seed everywhere, on rocky soil, on thorns and weeds, and on good soil. The farmer's generous and extravagant. There's no shortage of seed. There's no shortage of grace. He's generous. Some of the seed falls on paths where birds come along and eat it. Some falls on the rock where it sprouts up at first good rain, but withers and dies because it doesn't have enough dirt. Some falls among weeds and thorns where it gets choked out by competition. The good news, though, is that some seed falls on good soil where it yields the produce of 30, 60, or even 100-fold. That's a pretty good return. You see, 7-fold meant a good year for a farmer, and 10-fold meant abundance. So 30-fold would feed a village for a year, 100-fold would let the farmer retire in a villa along the Sea of Galilee. Jesus explains that the different types of soil and ground are the hearts of the hearers. You see, some ignore God's word. Some listen and forget when times get heated or challenging. Some listen but soon forget because of the lures of this world. And some listen and let it grow in their heart and live faithfully as it bears much fruit. Jesus is willing to be generous in the hopes that hearts might be open to receiving his word. You know, it takes a lot of risk, and it's kind of wasteful, actually, to throw seed rather than carefully plant seed. Much of the seed does not fall on soil that can sustain growth of a seed. It would be much easier and actually be a better steward to work and plant soil that is ready and perfect, that maximizes capacity. The farmer would have a better chance of growth. You see, Jesus plants differently. Jesus explains that the parable is actually about how he was trying to sow the word of God on unpredictable soil of the human heart. And waste appears to be part of the way the good news of Christ comes into the world. Think of how many of the other parables that we read about in the scriptures speak about waste. There was a shepherd who risked the welfare of 99 in order to search for one. Kind of wasteful. There was a man who gives an invitation to a banquet and prepares all of this food and no one shows up. What a waste. There was a son who took all his money, his inheritance from his father, and went and wasted it away. All of these parables speak of extravagance and recklessness and waste. And I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me like, no, save the 99. No, don't worry about that son who went and threw all his money away. I don't like to waste things. I like to use things and save things until and try to use them again. I like to schedule my days and try to make trips in which I'll knock four things out on one side of town before I drive back to the other side of town. I try to be a good steward with my time and with my energy and with my money, and yet it seems that sometimes waste is unavoidable in the kingdom of God. And it doesn't mean that we have to become wasteful people and that we are to be wasteful people. We are to be good stewards. We are to be responsible. I think there could be a balance. It'd be much easier to strictly look for people who are soft and tender and have an open, receptive heart and just talk to them. However, we realize that not all hearts are currently prepared in such a way, but seed is thrown anyway. It makes me think of, you know, Thursdays down at the clothing closet, and we're there, you know, sowing seed, and we're there throwing seed, and some of the people who come by, can be kind of not very nice, to say it one way. However, there's others that come through, and they're so grateful. Those are those moments that say, yes, you're here. The seed is falling maybe among good soil, knowing that there's other types of soil. But we keep throwing seed. Sometimes hearts are broken by failed relationships or by disappointment of friends. Sometimes hearts have been hardened by the hurts of disease or traumas of war. Sometimes hearts have some things growing in them that are not the healthiest, like pride or addiction. Sometimes hearts must be prepared like soil, must be prepared for seed. Soil is tilled, broken apart, made softer to bear fruit. In the same way, hearts over time can be prepared so that God's word will grow. Another way to understand the parable is to think of that we have a role in this as well. God gives us a role in the story. That there are rocks all around us, there are thorns and weeds, and sometimes we have to get our hands in the soil and move these rocks around, and sometimes we have to pull out the weeds, and it may hurt, and we may get cut from time to time, but we can help turn bad soil into good. It takes time, it takes risk, it takes relationship, and it's no guarantee that it's ever going to work. It takes time sitting with someone in need, helping them overcome an addiction. It takes time helping someone who feels that they've somehow failed God rebuild their life. It takes being loving to someone who doesn't understand what love is. It takes providing a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. And for so many people, they don't care what kind of seed or what you're throwing until they know that you care about them. And friends, we can have perfect soil. We can nurture it. We can do all of those things, but it's God who makes the seed grow. Every farmer knows that they can't run out and pull the plant from the ground, no matter how well they prepared it. But it takes rain, but not too much rain, and it takes sunshine. God is in charge of the growth. The parable ends in joy. Celebration of great harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. There's waste. There's futile effort, there's ruined seed, there's disappointing results, but the story ends with success. Matt taught me a lot about farming. He taught me that it takes time, endurance, and perseverance, but even more than that, Matt taught me that it takes a strong faith. He was a member there of the Methodist Church in Beeville. His mom was a bishop in the Methodist Church, one of the first female bishops in the Methodist Church. And I believe that God was using Matt during these farming days to plant seeds in me. He was throwing seed as Jesus asked him to. And over time, Jesus grew the seed. You see, God flings seed everywhere. Apparently, God has seed to waste and likes to see through his grace what can grow where it's not supposed to. Things like Kairos ministry, in which people go in and to prisons and throw seed and allow that seed to grow in people that wasn't supposed to. God has an abundant amount of love and an all-inclusive grace that wants all people to hear and experience and eventually bear fruit from a relationship with him. And sometimes it feels like our seeds are falling on deaf ears and our seeds are falling and being wasted and nothing good is happening. But through God's grace, sometimes we may not see it come to fruition, but it's there. There's plenty of acreage in the kingdom of God for all people to grow with God as their source of abundant and true life. Lives are changed when hearts are open to hear the word of God. People begin to treat each other differently. People love one another, care for one another, walk with one another, talk with one another, listen to one another, work with one another. For you see, the ways of Christ works is to bring one another together. God is love. And so I wonder what ministries have started here because someone threw seed somewhere and saw if it would grow. Hey, I wonder if we could have a ministry with someone who's homeless. Hey, I wonder if this church could make pillowcases and shawls for those who need a reminder of God's presence. Hey, I wonder if we could have a preschool here for families in the area. Hey, I wonder what two distinct worship services would look like. The list goes on and on. And if you notice, all of these things are about throwing seed and expanding out of generosity and grace. Maybe we should have a competition. Who has the craziest idea? Who can dream up something that only God could answer? And some of it may take root, and some of it may be a disappointment. But through God's grace, lives can be changed. And so, friends, where is God growing seed in your heart? Where is God calling you to throw seed? Where is God growing seed in us as a church? And where is God calling us to throw seed next? Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your generosity and your grace that you threw seed to areas in which we were, and that that seed could grow in our hearts and in our lives, and that we might be bearers of the fruit and seed for others. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for the ways in which you're at work, using us to be instruments of growth in the world, of your love and grace. Be with us this day and in the days to come. In Christ's holy name, amen.